Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the row and pass it on to your neighbor seated next to you. And please make note of announcements in your bulletin concerning upcoming meetings, choir rehearsals, and items needed for the church's food pantry that serves the Northland, the Clay and Platte County areas throughout the Northland that serves people in need. Many of our fellowship events, including our monthly fellowship lunches, are once again on hold with the increased cases of coronavirus, and we will wait and see how the nation, and especially our part of the country, fares before we make final plans for the upcoming Lenten and Easter seasons. We will have an Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, March 2nd at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. We're encouraged by recent reports in the local news that our numbers of COVID cases does appear to be decreasing, but we will continue to track this as we determine the safest path for us here at Berry Christian Church. And Kathy Connell would like to share a few words about our children's and youth ministries. Thank you, Kathy.
Good morning. Well, we're finally ready to do it. We're launching youth group the 20th, 2 weeks from today. We have already sent out notices to those who attend church regularly. However, grandparents, aunts, uncles, if you have anybody in 6th through 12th grade who you think might like to attend some of our youth group meetings, please let me know and we will gladly send them an invitation. This is not we're recruiting for members or we're recruiting for people to attend Berry Church. It's strictly a youth fellowship. And so we would love to have other kids outside of Berry Christian Church attend. I also need 3 to 4 men to help move that humongous pool table that is upstairs in the youth room. We're not moving it very far. Basically, we're going to pick up one corner at a time, slide a felt slider underneath it, and then push it to the other end of the room. So we're not carrying it downstairs. We're not doing it. We're pushing it around. We just don't want to push it on our brand new floors and scrape the floors up already. So if anybody can help me with that, either after church today or possibly next weekend, that would be awesome. Thank you.
And I can vouch for the weight of that pool table because it used to be in my basement. Took 4 strong men to get it upstairs and trucked up here to the church. So, all right, maybe now begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan. Welcome back.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Be glad, Israel, because of your Creator.
Rejoice, people of Zion, because of your King.
Praise the Lord. We'll now sing number 272, The Church's One Foundation, stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
Jesus Christ the Lord. We are his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought us to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought us, and for our life he a scornful wonder, the world sees us oppressed, by schisms rent asunder.
thanks to Kate Vineyard for being our acolyte this morning. This was her maiden voyage, and she did quite well. Very proud of her. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Holy God, it is with gratitude that we gather in your house this morning in praise and worship, fellowship, and teaching. We are privileged to live in a country where we have the right to be here by choice, and it is this place, Berry Christian Church, that we choose to call our church home. We enjoy the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ and also our visitors, which we welcome also as brothers and sisters. Lord God, we seek now to feel the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now.
Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. I'd like to invite our children to come up for the children's sermon as Ryan leads us in singing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the side, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. That's not a very big good morning from all these kids. Good, thank you. That boy's got it. All right. When we get all of these kids up here, it just makes me happy. I want to dance. I will spare you that, but it makes me want to dance. Anyway, last week we talked about celebrating God by celebrating you. His creation, his perfect, wonderful creations. Yeah, because did you know you were all wonderful? You are. God made you wonderful. Yes. Well, so when we got a little celebration, little blow thing, didn't we? Well, this morning, I have this. What's this? Pencil. Yeah. Now, what do you think we could celebrate with a pencil? What do you think? Metal? Okay. Well, that's not quite what I had in mind, but no. This is to celebrate God gave us the ability to learn. He gave us the ability to learn to read and write and sing and dance and all of those ways we can celebrate God. We can celebrate Him with song and dance. We can read our Bible and celebrate Him that way. We can write down prayers for people and celebrate Him that way. And so this is, when I say we're celebrating God, it's just a bigger way to give thanks to God. We just want to thank Him in big, fantastic, wonderful ways. And so we celebrate. In the Bible, it even says, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Oh. And in the book of Psalms, which is the Old Testament, it says, lead me in your truth, Lord, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Oh. That's awesome. The more we read and write, the more we discover about God and our world too, which God made that, so that's all good too, huh? All right, can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you give us this ability to learn, to read the Bible, to learn song and dance and just celebrate all the things that you have given us. Each and every day of our lives, we bless you, we praise you, and we give thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't go anywhere, I got something for you.
Get that in there fast.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer today, a number of folks for us to lift up. We want to celebrate with Gwen and John Staffney. She was at the early service as they celebrate the birth of their first grandchild. Wade Lewis Juno was born on the 28th of January, 7 pounds, 5 ounces, 20 and a half inches in length. And we're certainly celebrating with them. Also, this past week, Sean and Lauren Murphy, who normally attend this service, they usually sit kind of in the back, kind of above where you are, Susan, just ahead of you. But Sean and Lauren Murphy and their son, Graham, welcome into their family a daughter, Madeline Virginia Murphy, born on Thursday of this past week, the 3rd of February. She came in to the world at 8:44 on Thursday morning, 6 pounds, 6 ounces, 19 and a half inches in length. And we hope to see them in the weeks ahead. So please keep them in your prayers. All of the mamas and babies are doing good, and we're grateful for that. A memorial service for Helen Kirby will be here in the sanctuary this coming Friday, the 11th. Visitation is at 10. The service will be here at 11, and certainly our congregation is welcome to attend. May we keep in our prayers Lauren Kirby and children Mike and his wife Debbie, and Shelley and her husband Steve. Tim Jackson is now home after going through the lung surgical procedures this past week. He had to actually go through a second procedure a little later in the week, but he was also able to go home on Friday. So we hope all continues well. Ardith Haynes is in our prayers as she is dealing with a second round with the coronavirus. certainly a concern for Ardeth as she has the respiratory concerns. Also, among family members, we are remembering Kathy Connell's great-granddaughter, Carson, who is back at the Children's Mercy Hospital receiving antibiotics. And Jerry and Peggy Treese's family, we're lifting up their daughter-in-law, June Treese, as she is dealing with some complications as a consequence of the coronavirus. Chris and Leslie Martinson's son, Andy Martinson, continues to be at St. Luke's on the Plaza with a lung infection, dealing with pneumonia. We also remember Debbie Buzinski, Jean and Grace Kimberling. We continue also to remember a number of other folks that have been on our prayer list for some time, but a word of praise as Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law, Chris Bishop, has seen some marked improvement with the installation of a device to help with Parkinson's disease. In fact, it looks like he may even be able to return back to work. So that is certainly very encouraging. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Holy and gracious God, on this Lord's Day we pray, as Psalm 19, verse 14 tells us, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are indeed our rock and our redeemer. And as we pause this Lord's Day to grasp onto the reality of what Christ has done for us, we rejoice in the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, as he tells us that when anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. We also find great comfort in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, that reminds us that we are joint heirs with Christ, even as Philippians 3, verse 20 tells us that our true citizenship is in the heavenly realm. For these immense assurances, we are truly grateful, O God, for they give us great hope, even as we press forward with the challenges that may face us in the context of our fallible earthly existence. We pray for your great comfort for the families of the 900,000 whose lives have been lost to the coronavirus in this nation alone over the course of these past 2 years. We pray for your guidance among world leaders as armaments and troops are amassed in Eastern Europe, even as troubles still persist in Afghanistan, the Korean Peninsula, and the South China Sea. As we seek your supreme guidance for our community, state, nation, and indeed the world, O God, we also remember the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Is over Jordan.
walks across over into campground. Oh, don't you want to go to that gospel feast, that
Nothing is known about the author of the text for this morning's communion hymn, Here at Thy Table, Lord. But we can imagine that Mary Hoyt, who apparently lived sometime in the 1800s, must have possessed a genuine yearning to be in close communion with our Lord Jesus as she thought about the Lord's Supper. For she wrote, Here at Thy Table, Lord, Thy sacred hour, O let us feel Thee near, in loving power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin, as to thy banquet hall we enter in. May we also be drawn ever closer to our loving Lord Jesus as we sing all stanzas of Here at Thy Table, Lord. It's hymn number 384, as we also share in the bread and cup of the Lord's table. As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Jerry leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord God, as we gather at your table, we ask that you bless these emblems of bread and wine that represents Jesus' broken body and spilled blood for our sins. Guide us in quiet meditation as we partake of each the bread and drink. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. in one article about the science of gratitude, it has been said that people who regularly practice gratitude by taking time to notice and reflect upon the things they're thankful for experience more positive emotions, feel more alive, sleep better, and may express more compassion and kindness toward others. But we as people of faith, we know that offering a portion of our offerings for the blessings and thankfulness to God, this is a way for us to express our genuine gratitude for God for all that He has given to us, while we also strive to benefit others. As the text of Acts chapter 20, verse 35 tells us, it is indeed more blessed to give and than to receive. Peggy leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Lord, we give you today what is already yours. You provide so much for us. We are thankful for the ability to give, and may your spirit of abundance grace these gifts for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Again, the scripture text is rather brief this morning as we continue this series about the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel. Today we are looking at the third of the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. The King James Version of the Bible reads, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." May we bow our heads in prayer, please. Holy and gracious God, we are humbled by the gentle spirit of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He possessed the power of heaven, yet he humbled himself to become one of us that we could experience your great love firsthand. Help us, O God, as we too strive to be gentle in spirit, so that we may also be living testimonies of your love by what we do and say. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. In the third beatitude of Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, Jesus tells us that the meek are blessed and that they shall inherit the earth. The word meek, when we hear it in this King James Version of the Bible, has us visualizing someone who is passive, someone easily used by others, a pushover. Yet in the Greek language in which the third beatitude was written, the word meek is translated more like this: one who possesses a gentle spirit through submission to God's will, or one who possesses great authority and power but constrains such abilities to the glory of God and for the benefit of others. In other portions of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses the same wording here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, where he states, "Be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another." And the image of this kind of gentleness makes us think, for example, of a gentle giant. Or we may think of the lion who lies with the lamb. And in our own personal context, the image that comes to mind for me when I think of this kind of gentleness is the golden retrievers that have been in our lives. We had one when Jonathan was younger named Chelsea. And of course, Jonathan, our son and daughter-in-law, Natalie, have a golden whose name is Henry. Now, what I find quite striking, however, is Henry's a big dog, you know. You know, thankfully, goldens are a bit more gentle than, say, a Labrador. A Labrador is like a bull in a china closet. Their tail alone can knock over just about everything. But goldens are pretty gentle. And a gentle giant, if you will, in this dog is how here our granddaughter, she thinks that any of the toys for Henry are really her toys as well. And of course, they're all laying about all the carpeted areas of the living room, et cetera, et cetera. And it is really striking to watch Henry playing with some sort of chew toy of his own, and here baby Addie comes crawling up and she gets a hold of an end of it and starts pulling on it. Now, you know how some dogs can be. Some dogs, you start getting in their business, you know, and with their stuff, boy, I mean, they'll start growling and become very possessive. But that's not the way of a golden retriever. One of the reasons why they make such a great family dog, you can trust most goldens with the care of that child, the nurture of that child. And of course, Henry, as soon as Addie starts tugging on that toy, he just lets go. And she'll play with it for a little while, and then Henry's nose will be right up there. He's still paying attention. That's still his toy. But, you know, he's patient. He just waits. And finally, you know, dear Addie, she kind of gives up on it, lets it go, sitting there on the ground. And of course, Henry, that's when he'll go ahead and snatch it and he'll run off. But gentleness. Gentleness is the way of this golden retriever. That's the kind of gentleness that I think truly is apparent here when we think of this text and when we think of there being the context of a gentle giant, one who has power and authority but moderates its use. Now, such an image of a gentle spirit, this was certainly foreign to those who were on the hilltop listening to Jesus as he gave the Sermon on the Mount. Many in Jesus' day certainly believed that absolute power and might ruled, for the Roman Empire ruled by taking over their enemies with the power of the sword and governed with heavy taxation. Even the people's Jewish religious practices were governed by the strict domineering regulations handed down by the wealthy ruling class of the Sadducees, who controlled the temple and influenced the daily practices of worship to God throughout all of Judea and beyond. In these people's lives, there was no place for a gentle influence, only the influence of might, intimidation, and the threat of death for noncompliance. And similarly, for today, gentleness of spirit has no place in the hearts of many people's lives, for many believe that true power only resides with those who have money and assets and the will to exert their influence on others, and that the best way to rule over others or even to win an argument is simply by firing a gun, or better yet, if you've got explosives. Yet, as Jesus continued through his ministry, time and again, he became the best example of a gentle giant as he strived to change the hearts of humanity, not only in the days in which he dwelt on earth, but certainly as he is still an example for us today. Jesus always possessed the great power of the heavenly realm. That's something that a lot of folks don't quite appreciate. But yet John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 tell us, from the very beginning the Word, meaning Christ, was with God. Through him God made all things, and not one thing in all creation was made without him. Yet our Lord Jesus, in his obedience to God for the plan of humanity's salvation, gave up the heavenly realm for our sake. As Jesus says of himself in John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40, I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me that I should not lose any of those he has given to me, but that I should raise them all to life on the last day. For what my Father wants is that all who see the Son and believe in him should have eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. Jesus revealed his gentleness of spirit as he chose to ride into Jerusalem on Lambing Day, which is our Palm Sunday, on a donkey, the symbol of peace, instead of a horse, the symbol of subjugation for the king. As Matthew chapter 21, verse 5 tells us, tell the city of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, and he rides on a donkey. Jesus' restraint from using great power, the great power of heaven, was most readily revealed on the night that he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane before his trial and crucifixion. The Apostle Peter sprang into a violent reaction by cutting off the ear of the high priest's slave when the temple guard was arresting Jesus. Yet Jesus told Simon Peter to put away his sword. Jesus healed the severed ear of the high priest's slave. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53 and 54, don't you know that I could call on my Father for help, and at once he would send more than 12 legions of angels. Now that's 60,000 angels, by the way, just to let you know. Imagine how 60,000 angelic beings would fill the sky. But he goes on to say in verse 54, but in that case, how could the scriptures come true, which say that this is what must happen? And even as Jesus endured great suffering on the cross, he could have called forth the angels of heaven and put an end to his suffering. But instead, even as he suffered, his concern was not for himself, but for his mother's welfare. As John chapter 19 states, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And from that time on, the disciple, who was John, took care of Mary. When we truly pause and consider the many ways that Jesus humbled himself as the gentle giant, we too are brought to our knees in true humility, reverence, and worship to God through what we experience in Jesus' example. And this, then, is the state in which we can possess a gentleness of spirit ourselves that can benefit others. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. And as the Apostle Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope that is in you, but do this with gentleness and respect. Now, as we look further into this third of the Beatitudes, the latter portion of the Beatitudes says that the meek and the gentle of spirit, or gentle of spirit, will do what? They will inherit the earth. But what does it mean to inherit the earth? If you look at the languages of the time, it essentially is talking about the totality of everything. It kind of reminds me of like when a parent asks a child, what on earth are you doing? You ever had that expression raised toward you? In other words, it means in the entire totality of everything that's going on, what is possessing you to do what you're doing, right? What on earth are you doing? Yet to the ears of those humble Jewish people listening to Jesus, his words would have been quite confusing. For their life experiences showed them that it was only the wealthy religious leaders and the powerful Roman rulers who possessed everything as far as the eye could see. The Jewish people in the land of Israel in Jesus' day lived in the shadow of Herod the Great. His lavish palaces and fortresses overshadowed the land. Bethlehem was in the shadow of the Herodian. Masada overshadowed the road to the south. Surely they must have thought that Herod's family influence would inherit their earth for centuries to come. They had no reason to believe otherwise. Yet, truth is, Herod's family reign is very short-lived, and today his palaces and fortresses are mere piles of worn ruins. In our day, it's easy for us to think that the ultra-wealthy will be the ones who inherit our earth. After all, they own such large percentages of the world's wealth. Many of the wealthiest among us have fortunes greater than that of many countries. Yet in truth, the days in which names like Bezos, Gates, and Zuckerberg will soon be forgotten. One day, Apple will once again be nothing more than a piece of fruit. Facebook, I guess it's now called Meta, will be a name of faded glory, much like Montgomery Ward's, Sears, RCA, Westinghouse, to name a few. But what Jesus revealed to us is that it is truly those who influence others, not with might and muscle, but with gentleness of spirit, they are the ones who will truly inherit the earth, or in other words, actually possess great influence over the earth. Jesus, our Lord, he lived only a short life. He owned nothing of material means. He traveled only a few miles, yet his gentle spirit continues to transform humanity as his gentle spirit has done so for centuries. And as we too strive to be gentle spirits through the guidance of God's Spirit upon our lives, and as we strive to follow the example of Christ set forth for us, our influence can be equally inspiring for others. As Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verse 12, I am telling you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do what I do. Yes, he'll even do greater things because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. So to sum it all up this morning, what is the third beatitude really telling you and me today? That pushy, domineering people are really not the ones who succeed in the end. It is those with a gentle spirit who truly influence generations to come. And so the third beatitude could be stated for us today. And remember, it begins, oh, the blessedness. Remember that? Every beatitude started that way in the actual language of the day. Oh, the blessedness of the gentle in spirit, for they will influence the world forever, as indeed did our Lord Jesus. So where are you in your walk today? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today can be your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, it's number 602. O Master, let me walk with thee. We'll sing all stanzas, please. 602. As you journey forward with the new week, may we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we give thanks for the privilege to focus on your word and to understand its meaning for us as we strive to be a living witness by what we do and say in the days ahead. Guide us today and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.